grind.
Alright, where are you going? Here, okay?
Grind.
Oh my god.
Not coming in, I figured it, man.
Good job, buddy. The Hunt for Answers. The Ugly Pike Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Ugly Pike Podcast on the Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network. Today, our episode is brought to you by Canada's only specialized pike and muskie shop, Izoco. Head over to izocofishing.com and check out all of the amazing hand-picked, top-quality gear they have to offer. This episode is also proudly brought to you by Chaos Tackle, your go-to destination for everything an angler desires. All conveniently available at chaostackle.com. Discover the range of top quality custom baits at great prices. And do yourself a favor, if you're in the market for a new rod, check out their assault sticks. Designed specifically for muskie anglers by muskie anglers. Gear up with Chaos Tackle and elevate your fishing experience. This episode is also proudly brought to you by Angling Sports, based in London, Ontario, and serving customers throughout Canada and the Northern US. With over 30 years of unmatched angler support, they offer top-tier fishing products catering to every skill level. Explore their offerings at anglingsports.ca and gear up for an unparalleled fishing experience. Frank, welcome back. We're going to continue with some of the discussions we had at the Toronto Sportsman Show on this episode.
Yeah, it was a great show, and I hope the listeners are enjoying the series.
All right, so anything else you want to touch on, or would you wrap things up and roll into that discussion?
Nope. I think we're good. Let's roll it and hope everybody loves it.
Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and muskie shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear, from bait casting to fly fishing, and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco is more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.
Hi, everybody. I'm Angelo Viola.
And I'm Pete Bowman.
Now, you might know us as the hosts of Canada's favorite fishing show, but now we're hosting a podcast.
That's right. Every Thursday, Angelo and I will be right here in your ears, bringing you a brand new episode of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Now, what are we going to talk about for 2 hours every week?
Well, you know there's going to be a lot of fishing.
I knew exactly where those fish were going to be and how to catch them, and they were easy to catch.
Yeah, but it's not just a fishing show. We're going to be talking to people from all facets of the outdoors, from athletes.
All the other guys would go golfing. Me and Garth and Turk and all the Russians would go fishing.
To scientists.
But now that we're reforesting and letting things free, it's the perfect transmission environment for Lyme disease.
To chefs.
If any game isn't cooked properly,
marinated,
or you will taste it.
And whoever else will pick up the phone.
Wherever you are, Outdoor Journal Radio seeks to answer the questions and tell the stories of all those who enjoy being outside.
Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the Ugly Pike Podcast on the Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network. Okay, Frank, you've had, what now, 3 full days to digest this show. Why don't you lead us into this discussion today? How is it going over there?
Oh, my God, it's amazing. This is day 4. It's an incredible show. And, you know, you asked me at first to, you know, go around and let's look at booths that are interesting. And so what I ended up doing was hauling my new friend, Maxime Gilbert, out of his booth. And hang on. Are you ready now? Come sit down. Can you give us 15 minutes?
Yeah, no problem.
You can stay.
Doesn't matter, you can stay.
Again, hey, listen. Hang on. Chris, just hang on a sec.
I don't need carbohydrates anymore.
No problem.
I'm a diabetic.
No.
Hey, you, stop talking.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, don't say anything. Put those on. All right. Okay, Dean, can you turn his on? All right. So listen, Chris, I got a surprise for you. You hear me okay?
Yeah. Well,
can you hear us okay, sir? Good, sir. All right. Cool.
Hang on.
Don't talk.
Hang on.
Don't talk. As soon as Dean tells us, he's eating a porchetta sandwich. All right, cool. So we're good. All right, Chris, I have a bit of a surprise here for you. We have a gentleman sitting here that you probably know, that you might not expect, and I want you to play 20 questions and figure out who this gentleman is. Sorry, Chris, I'm springing this on you, but you got to work with me here. 20 questions.
Okay. Are you living in Canada?
Don't answer, just nod or... Yeah, yes, he is living in Canada.
Do I know you from abroad?
Sort of. But no, not in the sense you mean. Maybe in an ambiguous sense, yes.
Is his name Luke?
No, that's 3 questions out of 20. You really went for it there, eh? His name's not Luke.
Yeah, okay.
Keep going.
Have I fished with him before?
Oh, yes.
Do we know each other from high school or university or professional life?
Well, these are yes questions, but if we phrase it high school, university, the answer would be right?
Would be university,
so we're not here all day. Yes, would be university, yes. So it's been a while.
Okay, I'm gonna go with... here's a question that will answer it. Did we used to fish underneath the bridge together and get robbed once? Yes or no?
Yes, you're correct. We did get robbed underneath the bridge.
Did I tell him to go fish in a location, and when he went there, there was a bunch of nude people standing there?
Yes.
Oh my
yes,
God. Sir.
we saw a dude's wang hanging out.
Oh no.
And when I was fishing, I was catching bass. It was brutal. It was not good. There was a
You're talking to one of the best fishermen I know, Frank. Taro's an unbelievable fisherman.
Right.
I used to love fishing with that guy.
So, Chris, tell the viewers so who we're listening to. Who's talking here?
Taro Murata, he is a fisherman that I met in University of Carleton in Ottawa. And we just hit it off because we were both anglers. And I didn't know that he was such a fishing nut till he was like, yeah, I'll get up at 5 in the morning to go fishing. And whenever we wanted to go, he was the first. Whenever I wanted to go, he was the first one to say, I'm in. And he would be fishing all the time. So, like, cool. He's just non-stop. A fishing nut like us. And he made a life out of it. And I'm so proud of him because he's just doing what he loves. Like, that's a guy who loves fishing just as much as you and me, man.
Thanks, okay, Wally. So, Taro, tell us about fishing with Chris and what was that was like. Because everybody knows you.
Fishing with Chris is great because he's I'll say we're kind of similar in a way. We're both kind of competitive people, too.
Right.
You know? So we go fish. We kind of, like, it's fun. We love to fish together. We're kind of fishing against each other a little bit. Chris, you know?
Right,
that
right,
was
right.
Good, too. Yeah. We even played tennis. Remember? We played some tennis even in university together.
Oh, yeah.
Competitive.
Oh, yeah.
There, too.
And you armbarred him.
Yeah, I armbarred you. And I pissed him off because I said to him, man, you're wasting all this money on this martial arts lesson. I just rented a video. And I watched Buddy do that with his gi or whatever. I got him in the armbar.
Okay.
I tap out. Not saying that.
I'm not
going to
tell
him
a full story on that one.
So I'd poke
we
at
got
him.
Some other
I did poke at him, you know? But
yeah,
going back to this nudist colony thing.
Yes,
did you hear the story?
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. We were fishing on Meech Lake in Quebec.
Yeah.
And we're catching smallmouth from shore. And all of a sudden, there's a naked dude looking at me. And
oh
I'm like,
God,
yo, Chris.
That's not
like,
comfortable
I was
at all.
I was scared.
Yeah.
I was really scared. And I'm like, he's just staring at me like this. And I'm like, Wally, man, help me. There's a naked dude looking at me. Like,
oh, my.
And I was like, honestly, I was happy to have you there. Like, I didn't know what was going on. You didn't know. It was like,
was he standing at full attention?
One dude looking. I don't remember that.
I hope he wasn't.
And then, so, the next step,
so it turns out it's a full-on nudist colony. That's where everybody went to get nude.
Nearly stepped on a broad now.
With Meech Lake.
I nearly stepped on a girl.
Really?
Yeah.
So
an older woman. It wasn't pretty.
Oh, my God. Okay, so listen,
are we live?
Yes. Let's pivot a bit here, and let's talk about, like, you got robbed. You can't just say we were fishing together and we got robbed and not tell the story.
Yeah.
So, why don't you start it off? Chris, go ahead.
I think Taro was with me. We were fishing underneath Bronson Bridge, and we were, like, far away from our equipment because we were just moving upstream or downstream, whatever it was. Trying to catch fish, and I turned around and there was kids on a bike on their bikes with our equipment, and they were just busting out of there. So we tried to catch them, and I think Taro, you were with me, and I was running full speed and I couldn't catch them.
I was with you.
I'll tell you. Wait, I gotta say this story because this is gonna make Taro look like a superstar. So we were fishing for muskie at one point, and I'm throwing a muskie killer. And I'm ripping this musky killer, and Terrell's watching me. He's like, and I probably like 10 casts in, and I got nothing. Terrell's watching me. He's like, you're not burning that thing fast enough. I'm like, okay. And he's like, just give me the rod. Let me show you. So he throws it out, he burns it, and like 3 seconds later, this massive fish smashes the musky killer, and he lands the musky. And I think that's when it all happened, right, Terrell? Is that when they robbed us?
Yeah. We got too excited. The guys are fishing. We look behind and the guy's gone with our gear.
So it was kind of worth it then for a muskie.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
That's great. Well, it's worth it for the story. I hope you guys didn't.
Oh, we have a lot of stories, man. Yeah. But we can't call a lot of them, eh, Wally?
No. You know what? When Chris is back and visiting.
How's it going now? Like, how are things? Like, are you still working with... was it Alumacraft? And you had a show, right?
Oh,
you
were doing a show. A lot of things are changing. I have my own channel now, man. Check it out.
Yeah.
On YouTube. So I'm getting more into YouTube. Tomorrow I'm going to, believe it or not, I'm going to Winnipeg. I'm going to Manitoba, the Lake of the Woods for 5 days. I'm filming with Jay Siemens. So we're doing a project over there.
Awesome.
Just so many different avenues and doors. It's just like we got to catch up. Like I don't even know where to begin or start. The story is definitely, you know, we got to catch up. Yeah. It's a long one, bro.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. Oh, that's such a great surprise, man.
I'm still guiding a lot. I got people coming in from the United States all the time now. Like, the YouTube's kind of cool because I'm getting to meet people from all over the world. I'm getting people from Brazil. I'm getting people from Japan. I'm meeting people from all over the place now. And it's all via YouTube.
Nice.
So it's like, man, the world's getting smaller and more interesting in a way for me.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
You know what, Chris? Chris comes home in the summers, Taro, and we know you're on the water, you know, going crazy. But you know what? Maybe one day we meet up in the evening, have a beer, and we'll bring the beers and, catch up.
Night fishing.
Okay,
hey, Chris?
We can night fish. All right. Twist my arm.
That guy will, Taro will fish anytime.
We got a lot of so anytime many big fish. Memories. Like with Chris Walters and I have. Wally? We call him Wally. You guys call him Wally?
I call him Wally, but a lot of these guys just know him as Chris.
Yaders used to call you Wally. And we have another friend named Heavy. But it was me and him. Like, all our buddies would be out at night and whatever. We might go out at night too, clubbing or whatever,
university
days.
Of course.
But we would both wake up and fish no matter what.
Yeah. I always call him Wally. We had two Wallys in our peer group, so... Got a little confusing, but you change your intonation.
So
and
if we got home at 3, we would go fish at 5. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Okay, let's go. You know.
Well, I think we're all cut from the same cloth, and a lot of people that are watching this show, Chris, you know, you're not here, but there's an audience. There's chairs in front of us, and the fine folks from the show have the fun time of sitting and watching us record these live sessions. And the people walking by, it's really something else. So. Taro,
Taro, what's your channel? Tell us your channel. People listening have to go check you out.
Taro _ Murata. That's it on YouTube. That's where I want to be. That's my goal, is really to get into full-time content creation full-time. It's very difficult to make that transition, especially when I'm editing myself.
Yeah,
and it's a bunch of crappy footage that I shoot myself because I'm not a cameraman. So I'm like, You know, I can't even give my footage to an editor, I don't think. They'll
yeah,
be
but
like,
you have
you
a style,
me?
Though.
Yeah,
Terrell, you have style. A style. You have a guerrilla style that's kind of your own.
Yeah, because I had to.
Yeah, I watch watch your stuff all the time. So.
And I grew up like that. Yeah. So I think my style is who I am because
for sure.
I'm just used to making something out of nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you got to run with
and
that.
And that's creative. I've got for wind sure, noise man. That's turned that into a sample.
Right.
Put a beat on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like it, man.
That's a good wind noise. You know, that's how very it is. Cool. And fishing's like that. That's my style. Oh, it's messed up over here. The conditions are bad. Or,
yeah.
Oh, whatever. Let's do this then.
Let's
figure it out. Let's try that.
Yeah,
you know,
for
like,
sure.
I'll try, like, I'm just tough in terms of fishing. I got that spirit that will make me turn an extra corner.
Well, if you hook up with Wally, like, he's got one gear, right?
Yeah.
It's hardcore.
He's an intense guy. I think that's where I think that's where we were definitely had that common ground.
That's cool. You know, you don't like that. You'll meet 100 guys, and you might meet one guy like that in your life. You know, and
he has that intensity, and he's done. He's so successful in every avenue. Like that's how he's always been. He's been good at everything he does.
Yeah,
and he has that type of drive, you know, and then that fire. And I think that's where we got competitive with each other, but also was like
it's positive
common ground. It's positive.
It's positive.
We learn from each other. We learn from each other too. Yeah.
Sometimes it's the hard way. Give me your rod, Wally. And let me show you.
Three cranks, 45 inches.
I love it.
All right, cool.
All good, brother. Love talking to you, man.
All right, Taro, Chris, anything else for Taro's very busy man?
Take care, buddy. And I'll see you in the summer.
XOXO, I love you. And the ladies loved this guy back in the day. I don't know about now, but man, let me tell you about Big Wally.
They still love him.
They still love him. Right?
From afar now because he's a married man.
His friends, the kids, everybody loved this guy.
Right on, Taro.
Just so popular. Never, not one bad word you ever hear about this guy.
I got a couple maybe.
When we should turn the mics off. Yeah. But it's not that bad. It's really good. So all in good nature. Cool. We'll let you get back to what you're doing. Taro, thank you so much. It was a pleasure meeting you today in person.
Oh, no problem,
and,
brother.
And thanks for orchestrating this little surprise.
Yeah, man. I might have crossed a few lines.
Take care, buddy.
You don't mind at all.
XOXO.
Take care, brother.
See you, Taro.
Cool, man.
We interrupt this program to bring you the much-anticipated bonus code for Outdoor Journal Radio's Podcast Network giveaway. This week's code is LAGER. That's LAGER. Just type that in the bonus code section of the contest and receive 100 free entries toward a Garmin LiveScope Plus system. Head over to fishingcanada.com while you listen to the rest of this episode, click contests, and sign up for all the latest Fishing Canada giveaways. For next week's code, tune in to the Eating Wild podcast. Now, back to the episode.
Yeah, Chris, I thought you'd get it. It's all good.
That was awesome. I was so happy you did that.
Yeah, I'm so glad
I got him, too, because I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. I'm not going to figure it out.
You know,
and then just clicked.
No, yeah, I knew you'd get there in less than 10 questions. But I saw on his social this morning, I was just on Instagram, and I saw that he was here. And so I go all over. I'm going all over these giant floors looking for the booth, and the booth is right beside ours. So I said he wasn't there this morning, and I said to the guys in the booth, I said, you know, I explained who I was and that I wanted him to come by and surprise you and stuff. And so Taro comes tearing up here, and he looks at me and he goes, do you know Chris Walter? Is he here? And I'm like, no. And I explained it to him, and he loved the idea. So the rest is history. The fun part is Ange Viola sitting here staring at me while he's talking about tripping over dongs and stuff on the beach. That was a little much, but we got past it. So great guy.
Well, I'll tell you the there was a little bit of the detail he missed out there. So what happened was he was right, we were competitive. So we would be like, you know, when you're fishing on a shore, you're going from like one bay to the next and you're kind of crossing over each other to get that first water, almost like in a musky boat, right?
Yeah,
like
Chris,
when you're the first one touching the water, we pretend we're not doing it.
Yeah, of course.
So I go to this one bay, and then as I'm going, it's like kind of, you had to go over a hill. When you came down, there was, he couldn't see me. And I saw like naked people, and I'm like, well, this is strange. So then I ran back, and I'm like, oh, dude, I just had the biggest lure on, and I just lost it. Or the biggest fish on it, and I just lost it. So he just goes bolting over right into the naked people. Oh. And then he came back like, oh, my God. So as we were walking back, like people were coming towards us saying like, oh, is it busy today? Many people. We were just having the best laugh because we realized that it was a full on nudist community and that's where they hung out. So,
oh my God.
Meet you like.
That's
unbelievable fishing though. The smallmouth was so good and largemouth bass there was so good.
And, but you, is that where you got robbed?
No, that was different, on the Ottawa.
Okay.
Or the Rideau. Sorry.
I fucking love the Rideau. It's one of my favorite places to fish. All right, man. So Max has been kind enough to sit
Max.
Here and listen through all this, although he has one of the busiest booths here. And why don't we shift gears now away from good times? That was awesome. And let's talk about sunglasses, because one of the things, Max, when I had to get my you know, Coast has been so good to me. I had an emergency a couple of years ago when nobody listened to the show, and I called you guys, and I said, my God, I just broke my prized possession, and I'm flying to Isla Morada tomorrow on a fishing trip. Please help me. And you guys said, okay, blue or green lenses? And I said, oh, geez, I don't know. And that kind of started me thinking, like, I don't know as much about these as I can. Like, I buy them because they look good and I can see through the water, but maybe I'm not wearing the right pair of glasses. So, Chris, do you want to frame this, or, like, how do you want to get into this discussion? Frame.
Well, you touched on everything. Let's, like, yeah, let's let Max explain where, like, first of all, you own a company, right? Zale Outdoors?
Yeah, Zale Outdoors. It's an agency. We do 21 company in hunting and fishing, and one of this company is that I'm really proud of is Costa, because I've been wearing Costa for 7 years before I became the sales rep.
I love the story.
I went to their booths at ICAST a couple of years ago, and I say, one day I'm going to be your sales rep. You need someone here in the Eastern Canada. And they say, yeah, we need one. Okay, maybe. The year after, and a year after I do the same, 2 years ago, I went to the booth and say, now, I'm going to be your sales rep. You need me right now. I want to be your sales rep. And it happened. So usually when you have agency.
So you believed in that company. You believed in that before you even. So that's amazing that you actually are living that part. Like, you wanted to represent them and now you're representing them, and they just have the most premium product out there for sunglasses.
Yes, they are. I'm really proud of this. And, they're a great company too. He was talking about the fact that they send a pair of sunglasses somewhere in the U.S. for him. It's all about services. It's not only great product. It's a great company with good people too. They are all fishermen. Surf the guys like to surf. The guys creating thing, the lure. It's kite surfing, whatever. I don't know what he do, but it's all outdoor person that love water. That's it.
They're about 40 years old, right? Like, they've been around for 30,
now it's
41 years, right?
Year. Last year was the 40 years of Costa.
There you go.
It's have been invented by. So there was already polarized sunglasses in the world, but they want to have. It was four guy in Florida. They want to have something more specific about fishing. Polarized exists. They want to have a frame that fit every face. And that caught the sun. Like, we have reflect from the water mostly. Then if someone, I don't know, do golf or whatever, there's no water. So we have reflect from the water, and there's the sun come from every side. And we need a frame from every, some have a big nose, some have a small nose. Here are different place. Yeah. So they need they have a lot. They have more than 700 frame for every faces.
It's tough, man. When I go and I go to your booth and I try them all on, one is better than the other. But I like your story, because I went to your booth and said kind of the same thing to you. Like, we're gonna get you guys to sponsor us, because we're the guys for Costa. And whether or not that happens, it's okay, because I think there's gonna be some real value in talking about these lenses. But suffice it to say, I think you and I are maybe more similar than we think we are.
Yeah.
Max and I had a good chat for about 20 minutes the other day in the booth, Chris. Great people.
Nice.
So let's talk. Is it just red tinge, blue and green, or
no?
Before you go there, sure. I wanted to just touch on what you said, because when you said you broke your glasses, like, people who don't fish don't realize how important glasses are to fishing, and it's not like an accessory; it's a tool.
It's a must.
And when you look at it as like a tool, it's like it's almost like your rod and your reel, right? Because having that strain reduced and having that kind of glare reduced and having that better vision in the water gives you a better chance at success of catching fish, and also helps you last longer in the day and the better quality lens you have, the more effective it's going to be on your head, obviously, and on your eyes. So, like, that's just like an introduction from my end. Like, that's how important I just can't go anywhere without fishing glasses. And when I first was in the rivers fly fishing, it was the biggest game changer when I realized polarized glasses just changed everything on spotting fish.
Yeah.
So you can use that as a segue, but that's like, I think it's really important for people to know that it's a tool. It's not an accessory.
Well, Chris, I just got back from Miami and I was fishing. I had my Costas and I was with my daughter and my father-in-law. And I was just saying, like, there's a shark right there. And they're like, where?
Where?
Right? Yeah. It's completely invisible to them, but I see it clear as day.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially, Chris, our home waters, the Niagara, they're clear enough. But you put these glasses on, you see
25 feet deep.
Everything.
You can see a rock, a bass, a fish.
You know what kind of fish you're looking at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You see everything. You see your baits. If you're jigging, it's essential.
And the boring part, I mean, I'm going to take a minute for that, but sunglasses, it's like sunscreen for your skin. It's like, yeah, we wear buff, we wear a little glove now, we wear a long sleeve because we want to be protected. There's cancer for skin and it's really bad. You don't want to have this, but there's cataract and a lot of things happen to your eyes while you're getting older if you didn't protect them. And underwater, it's the place where it's the most dangerous because of the reflect of the water, of the sun on the water. So you need to protect yourself from sun for your skins, but for your eyes too. And there's some $20 polarized sunglasses on the market. You think it's going to do the job, but it's not going to protect. It's like wearing butter instead of good sunscreen.
There's no question. And like when I started, I used to get I got to lower my voice because their booth is right behind us. But I used to go to Canadian Tire, buy the Rapala $20 pair of glasses, right? And lower my voice. And then when I first put, they're literally right behind us. And we have like speakers blasting this in their direction. Anyways, great baits and all this. Anyways, and then I put Costas on for the first time. I was fishing with a buddy.
Game changer.
And I was like, oh my God. You know, it was just a game changer. So, like, Chris, you know musky fishing is a budget buster, especially if you're just getting into it. But if you're going to spend money, this is a really, really wise place to spend it.
And there's polycarbonate glasses and there's some glasses. And polycarbonate, most of the sunglasses are made by polycarbonate. And we have a process that makes them more resistant than most of the other company. It's not scratchless, but it's better. But glasses, I have the same pair of Costa for the last 8 years, and I'm still wearing them to go fishing because I'm not taking care of my stuff. They are in my pocket with my key. They are in the bottom of my boat sometimes. They fall in the rock, and I'm still wearing them. They're still perfect. Because glasses last longer.
Yeah. That's one of the questions I wanted to ask you is like, I wear the glass version because I just find I like the weight. It's a little bit heavier. It feels clearer to me and there's less scratches. Does that sum up the difference or is it better on other levels?
You see better.
Is it just as clear as a polycarbonate and the scratching is the only advantage or like, what is the benefit of going to the glass version over over the polycarbonate?
You see way better with this than polycarbonate, first of all, and yes, it's scratchless. And I don't feel like it's most heavy. Some people, they when they wear this for the first 5 minutes, they feel it, and after that, for the next 20 years, you're not gonna feel the difference between polycarbonate and like it's not that heavy. And they're really thin, even if it's glass. I saw some other sunglasses that they were more wide and more heavy. I had someone today in the boots, and he says, oh, yeah, they are heavy. I take two pair. One is polycarbonate, the other one, and he didn't feel the difference. Which one is the glasses? Yeah, he found out at the end, but the difference was not that bad.
Yeah.
So, and it protects your eyes, too, from if you have a hook. Like, the fish is close to the boat, and
that's what I always say.
You lose your fish. It goes to your eyes. It protects your eyes for that, too.
Yeah.
A hook in the eye is not good.
No. Oh, my God.
Nope.
So then why don't you explain to us, like, when you go to buy a pair of sunglasses, as Frank mentioned earlier, we have this, like, you have this wide range of glasses, and you just mentioned in terms of frame size, okay, that's going to be what fits your head properly. But in terms of the glass or the type of lens that you want to choose, what, like, Is it specific to the type of fishing? You have the copper, you have the gray, you have the green, you have the blue, you have the amber. Like, is it just depending on where you want to use this lens, or is it based on your type of vision, like you like an individual matching, or like maybe explain to us how someone would go and choose the right lens for the right type of fishing?
Okay, so there's a lot of color, and I recommend to make this easier, there's four major color for fishing. I think we have eight color, but there's four that are most important for fishing. So, and that's the one that we sell the most too. So first of all, the blue one is the one that is the most sold in the world. And because it's the most overall, and that's the one that protect the best, the sun and everyone that I'm going to talk about. So blue one, it's specifically made for deep water. And when I say deep water, it's not 50 feet deep. It's like from 8 to, let's say, 25 when it's really clear water, like Lake Ontario and stuff like that. But and I have a story about this. I was in a boat last year in Cape Cod fishing for striper bass, and the guide was sponsored by another company. So I was joking with him, blah, 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 you don't have the good sunglasses. And the striper bass were in the bottom. And he was looking at his graph and this kind of side imaging. I don't remember which was the company, but... And he was looking and said, oh, there's some fish here. Like, okay. And he was wearing the yellow version of the company that he had. And the company was not good. It was not the right color. It was sunny day, no wave at all, no wind. And at one point, I was me, my girlfriend, and my father, and we were looking in the water. And I say, hey, there's 200 striper bass there. And he come and say, I can see them. I say, yeah. And it was 20 feet deep.
Right.
I could see the 200 striper bass. So for the rest of the trip, he said, okay, two guys on this side, one guy's on this side. I'm not looking at my graph anymore. Tell me when there's some fish. And he borrowed my pair of Coast Times. Like, oh man, I don't have the good pair. I said, yeah, I told you in the beginning. But it's not only that. He had the yellow sunrise. So the blue one for deep water, it's crazy. You're going to see way better. That's the one for that. If you like to fish shallow water, like a fly fisherman in a river, a smallmouth bass fisherman as me for Lake Ontario and shallow water, the green one is the one that I wear.
How shallow?
I wear
the green ones.
I'll say 0 to 8 feet.
Okay.
And even you're going to see well in 10, 12 feet too. If you only have a pair of green, you're not screwed like, oh no, I need a blue because now I'm fishing in 13 feet deep.
Yeah.
You're going to see well, but blue is better in deeper water.
Okay.
So shallow water, let's say until 8 to 10 feet deep. That's what I will recommend.
Okay.
If you're a shallow fisherman, buy a pair of green. And after that, buy a pair of blue. The yellow sunrise silver is the one that it's for when it's rainy day, on the beginning of the day when it's dark, at the end of the day when it's dark, or a cloudy day. So this is, when you wear that, you don't think it's raining. You think it's sunny all the time.
Oh, okay.
So it's a kind of yellow with silver on the front. And this is crazy. The first time I wear that was 2 years ago. I can't imagine I didn't have this pair
before.
Do you have
it here?
No, I don't have it here.
Okay.
But I have a new color that I'm going to talk about.
Okay, okay.
But so the yellow is for darker moment. So green for shallow, blue for deep water, yellow. So if you're a big fan of Costa, if you buy a pair of Costa, you're going to buy more. That's good for me because
right.
I'm the sales rep.
Right.
So, but that's what happened to me. I had 7 pair of Costa before I became the sales rep.
Right.
I was in love with this company. I'd have the blue, the green, the yellow.
Max, is the yellow for sundown as well, or do you do a different color for sundown?
Frank, I have the amber ones, the yellow ones, and I use them right at the end of the day, and they're game changers. They just make everything like a level brighter.
So you had the amber and the yellow, Chris? Which one did you prefer?
Well, the one he was talking about, not amber, it's like a yellow
sunrise
one,
silver,
right?
Sunrise silver, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it's Costa too. I have a Costa version. The one he's talking about, and it's really good.
Yeah.
But you use it for like about an hour or two right before the end of the day.
Exactly.
Or on a cloudy day.
Yeah. Cloudy day.
Okay.
I wear my sunglasses when it's raining. I have a bass boat, so water when you're driving, you want to protect your eyes for that too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and they have a new color. They arrived with this year. It's called the Gold Lens, but inside it's pink. This is gonna replace a little bit the blue on the bestseller, I think, because this is gonna hack very well when it's cloudy, when it's dark. It's gonna be awesome when it's really sunny. You know when you're doing snowboard or stuff like that, they're selling some pink one. The inside is pink because the detail of the mountain and the little everything, you could see way better with this. So when they introduced this year, and they already enhanced the color, the blue, the red, and the green Costa. That's the main key of this. They're polarized. They block the sun to protect your eyes and to make sure that you could see very well. But the NS enhance. It's hard for me to say this word. I'm French. Yeah. Enhance the color, the blue, the green, and the red. So this one's gonna enhance the color a lot. You're gonna see a lot more detail, more the rug, the type of weed, the fish. It's gonna be a little bit better.
Do you put these in all the models? Like I'm really liking those clear frames that I saw at your. And I'm going to either buy them or something. Yeah. So could I get that lens in those?
I don't know this particular model that you like, but they have in a lot of frame. They have this color. We have a pro model now. A lot of our model became pro model. They have more detail. They have place here for your sweat. Make sure that there's no sweat going in here. There's the nose is adjustable. This part here, the most is wet, the most it stay to your face. So there's a lot of more detail on the pro version. So I think every pro version have the gold lens.
Okay.
And a couple of lifestyle, because we do lifestyle too.
Right, lifestyle, yeah.
You like Costa, you wear them for fishing, and you want to have this pair to go have a beer with your friend on a terrace.
That's what we're saying, right?
So we're going to do the pink on a lot of versions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
The pink is not the copper silver, right? That's not wait. It's a different one, right?
Yeah,
the
it's
pink
a different
is completely
one.
new one coming out. It's not even on the website yet because I can't find it.
Yeah, exactly. It's called the gold. Yeah. I call it pink, but it's called the gold. They call the name of the lens by the color of the outside. So like when you're talking about the amber, you're talking about the green lens because it's green on the outside, it's amber inside. The blue one, it's kind of gray inside and it's blue outside. So they call the lens by the name of the outside of the color at Costa. And they're a lifetime warranty. It's really a good process. It's based in Montreal. They have an office in Montreal. So if you send your pair of sunglasses there, if you have any problem, not scratch them. If you walk over them, it's not a warranty. But if something unglue, whatever, it's really easy to
are
get
they
him
selling
fixed.
These at Izoco?
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Okay, so they do. They're one of
news.
My first customer.
Yeah.
When I get on board. Yeah.
All right. So, Max is very familiar with JM and the boys over at Izoco.
Yeah.
And they're carrying
very good
that.
Guy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, they're great people.
They're going to bring
Max.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
But I don't know if I can say that, but they're going to be at the Odyssey, and everyone that purchased a pair of Costa, they're going to get a chance to win another pair of Costa by all the people that are going to buy a pair of Costa at this show.
At this show?
At the Odyssey.
So if you, at the Odyssey. Okay, so
exactly.
So say that again. Chris, did you get that? I didn't get that.
Okay, at Odyssey, Muskie, it's in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like
April.
That.
Yeah.
April. They're going to bring the rack of Costa. If you buy a pair of Costa, if we sell 20 pair of Costa, you're going to have a chance over 20 to win another pair of Costa.
Gotcha.
That's just a little contest.
You're going to be there?
My partner, Conrad, will be there.
Conrad will be there. This is the guy I met, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Right on. That's awesome.
Nice.
Right on.
I just wanted to ask Max, what is the 580 technology? What does that mean? Like, that's all your glasses say the 580P or 580G. Like, what does the 580 represent?
So it's their patented, and no one can do the same polarized sunglasses as us. That's their unique polarized. So that's what I was telling. It got
that's the proprietary technology that makes them stand above everybody because it's such
exactly.
The quality is superior.
The 580 and NM nanometer, it's the yellow, the yellow color. It's the color of the sun. So it block 99.9% of this color. So that's their technology. That's why the polarize is so good. And it enhances the blue, the green and yellow, like I was saying. So that's the 580. That's what it's all about. And that's why other companies have tried to do good polarized. They do. There's a lot of good company in the market, but we have something unique, something that no one can do the same because it's a patented.
And the polarized, it's not only polarized, it's UVB as well, right?
Yeah.
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 Which is important. So you're blocking the UV rays as well, only getting the polarization. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Exactly. Yeah, 100%. All the time. So,
Cool, man. Cool.
They also have some good clothing. So if you want to look good with your sunglasses, you could buy a t-shirt.
Hopefully I'll be decked out in Costa gear soon enough.
I think yes.
Chris, any more questions for our friend Max before we move on to another special guest?
That was great. I've always wanted to talk to somebody who's an expert in this and how, like, you understand how important sunglasses are, and we all do as fishermen and as anglers, how important that is as part of our gear to have a good pair of sunglasses.
Awesome.
So yeah, Chris, great talking to you.
We talked years ago about doing an episode like this, so yeah. it was nice to have you. Nice to meet you, Max.
Thank you.
And
thank you,
we'll guys. Be in touch.
Yep.
Have a great rest of the show.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Cheers, Max.
Cool. So we are bringing in another friend of the show. Come on over here. See you, Max.
You got a lineup, Frank.
We got a lineup here. You know, it's really incredible here. It's been great. Rick, write these ones right there, bud. It's just been great, you know. Like, this booth has been something else. And if we're not talking on the microphone, other people are talking on the microphone. There's always a show going on. There's always friends stopping by, either people you recognize from TV, internet, or people you recognize from just being in the industry. And when I talked to Rick, right? When I talked to Rick, I went over to introduce myself at the booth that he represents. Rick, tell us where you're from.
Hi there, and thanks for having us.
Hey, Rick.
We're here from Anderson's Lodge in Sulacoat, Ontario.
Very cool.
Oh, man.
Tell me Rick doesn't have a charmed life. You're the manager, right?
What a place.
Yes, I'm very fortunate to be the general manager there at Anderson's Lodge.
Right on. Chris, are you going to go first or am I here?
All I can say about that lodge is I was desperate for a topwater lure when I was fishing, and I drove to your bait store, and I bought a Big Mama from that store, and I met the lady there. I can't remember her name. She was so nice. I talked to her for like 20 minutes, and we just had this best conversation about catching muskie. And then she sold me this lure, and I went out and caught a 48-inch fish topwater on it the next day. So, yeah, that's my story with Anderson's Lodge.
That's awesome.
So really quick, because you're busy, you're at your booth, and now nobody's at your booth, and I've been watching you guys. You guys are steady over there, right? What can you tell our listeners about Anderson's Lodge that you want to share? I can say a million things that are good about it, and I do during the broadcast, as you guys probably know. But maybe something new and exciting, or something that lets you guys stand apart for any of the listeners that haven't heard about Anderson's Lodge that probably live under a rock if they haven't.
Sure thing. Yeah, we're very fortunate. We have a tremendous fishery there at Anderson's Lodge. We're a drive-to American Plan main lodge. That means like full service meals, guides. We have 18 full-time guides on staff, all putting in 100 days at least on the water. So guaranteed to put you on fish. Not only that, at the main lodge where we're fishing Lac Seul and 8 other area lakes, we also have 4 fly-in outpost locations at the northeast end of Lac Seul. And up there, you get to have your own adventure. You're fishing on your own program. Yeah, you can fish from dawn till midnight. You know, the sun's up till 10:30 at night, midsummer.
That's right.
So you can target muskies and pike and walleye all day long. It's really a fantastic fishery.
I've stayed at Tuck Bay.
Oh, great. At the northeast end of Lac Seul. That's a great location there.
It was paradise.
And then how'd you make out?
I got a giant hook in my wrist, and even though an airplane dropped me off, the grizzly gentleman, I'll call him, we don't remember his name.
Grizzly Adams, that's Kevin, our outpost.
Kevin was kind enough to come. I'll never forget, Chris, because I was in the hut with Dave, and we called Kevin the mountain man because we didn't know his name. And you know, on a fishing trip, your brain's not as efficient as it is in your normal professional life. And I'm sitting there freaking out because I have this massive hook through my wrist. And he goes, Frank, I got good news. The doctor's here. And I went, what? And he goes, well, the bad news is it's the mountain man. And Kevin comes up with his little black bag, you know, cuts it. And everybody tries to push the hook through, and it doesn't work. And so we hop in the big steel boat, and he drives me, I don't know, a couple hours to the hospital and got me stitched up, and they had to cut it out of me. It couldn't be pushed through, and got me on my way. And the next day I caught my very first muskie, which was a mid-50s trophy, and got my Master Angler's patch with my first fish. We got another muskie after that and a whole crap load of walleye. So that was the trip for me that started all of this for me, my muskie obsession. It was because of you guys. And, you know, Chris had his own inspirations, and I think we just, we'd been friends forever, but we over this fish and over my experience at your lodge, just led to this moment. So just want to say thanks to you and to Jody, who may or may not be listening to this at one point, but Anderson's Lodge has a real special place in my heart and in the history of the show. So
wow, that's a fantastic story, and thank you so much for giving us a little bit of credit for being the catalyst to get that get this fantastic program going.
You guys are a good partner of ours, and we appreciate it very much. Chris, we got to get Rick back to his booth. Is there anything else you want to ask or talk about with the lodge experience before we get him out of here?
No, I think you touched on everything. I mean, we're just you're just blessed to be in that fishery. I mean, it is the most magical place to fish muskie, and I don't know if that's good or bad to talk about on the show. You know, some people don't like us saying that, but Lac Tulle is just heaven. And when we go back up there, we're definitely stopping in to see you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. We take great pride in that fishery. So, spread the word. That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Rick. Thank you very much, man.
Thanks, Frank.
Take care. I'll come say bye before we leave.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, Chris, busy day. I just texted another.
I want to go back up there so bad.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what a place.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Their booth is like literally you can spit and hit their booth. So I get here and I just look to my right and I see Anderson's Lodge staring at me. So
Jody was the name of the woman that I met then. She was the owner.
No. Jody is the owner. Jody's a gentleman. So Jody, I forget his last name. And then I don't know who the woman was that you're talking about, but I remember seeing her there because I think she checked us in. And then when I got the hook in my arm, Jody was the guy that was, kind of chuckling with me over it and stuff like that. But, Jody's the owner, and, I wish I could remember his name now, but it's his last name. But, it's, you know what, Chris, a lot of talks with a lot of people here about Sunset Country and Lac Tulle and,
of course,
and Eagle Lake and Taro, of course. I don't know if he actually even said, he said he was leaving for Winnipeg, but he's going to Lake of the Woods. So he's going to, they're going to, I think he said they're going to catch the tail end of ice fishing season up there. Cause they're still on.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's been wild. It was really great to see, to meet Taro in person for me. You know, we talked about him and, you know, he's all over social media, obviously. So I know your history with him. So when I got to talk to him and meet him, it was, even though he was looking for you, it was really cool moment.
No, that's great. I'm so glad you brought him over, and we got to connect with him. I mean, we wanted to get him on the show at one point, but he's such a busy guy too. So, I mean, that's a future guest that we'll have. Maybe we can do something live with him because he's a great guy to fish with.
Yeah, I think that would be great. What part of the problem with him is he doesn't seem to have a season. You know what I mean? It's like the guy is fishing 365 with his hair on fire. So, you know, I would love to, I would just love to kind of sit and chat with him. And he's such an eccentric guy, such a personality. You know, I'd love to just sit and have some quality time with him, pick his brain. Of course, I'd love to fish with him.
Well, the I think the irony is that, there's two of us sitting in, as you said, we'd be going out, like all of us would be going out to bars and clubbing and stuff. And then him and I would be at the end of the bar saying, we got to get up in 3 hours. Are you still in? And like, I'd be like, of course I'm in. And he'd be like, of course I'm in.
Yeah.
So it's like, and then these are the two guys that are still talking about fishing today. And I don't know, like, where everybody else is, but we have our lives, but like, clearly there was a passion there. Right. And it's turned into a life journey. And, I'm very happy for him because he's a great fisherman, angler, and he's doing what he loves. So,
yeah. And I think, like, I'm surprised he's not a musky guy. I'm more of a musky guy. Like, I understand as a guide, maybe musky is the last fish you want to guide for obvious reasons. But Taro seems to have that maniacal, headstrong, that us musky guys have, that determination. So that kind of shocks me. But,
you know what, he's probably one of the best multi-species anglers in Ontario. So certainly
yeah.
good.
He likes fishing the islands, the Toronto Islands. He's really good at fishing inside those islands. Yeah. So, and I think he had an urban fishing service. So he was taking a lot of like inner city people out, right, you know, right around the waters, right close into downtown Toronto, and just get him out fishing for the day. So I'm not sure. It sounds like he's spreading his wings a little bit more now, but that was something that he was doing before. It was really cool.
That seems to be his hallmark, right? He'll post a picture of a 44-inch pike or something crazy, and you'll see the CN Tower in the back, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. exactly.
So, I mean, look, I'm sure there's a really good market for people who, you know, can't make that drive to that, you know, to Nipissing or beyond. And, you know, like, you know, Joe Panessa, our buddy Joe, he's always telling me, like, I want you to get my kid a fish. I told my kid I'll get him a fish. He said that to me last year, and I'm just like, I can, I'll do anything for the guy. Come down, bring your child down, and I'll do what I can to get Jackson a fish. But you know what? You're in Toronto. Like, I'll hook you up with some of these guys, and they'll put you on 100 fish, or they'll put you on fish of a lifetime. These guys are real pros.
Yeah.
And that's the guy I think that he's really catering to, is the city guy who wants to get out for an afternoon and bring his kids out, or get a buddy and just detach from the hectic life of the city life and get some hooks wet.
Yeah.
Well, I'm texting Brent Bocek because I wanted him to come by and sit and talk and chat with us, but he's not answering me. He just ran by and did a funny face to me, and now I can't find him, so I don't know where he is. Anything you want to talk about else for the show, or do you got to...
So, I mean, we discussed before, you had 3 days.
Yeah.
You've been going around all the shows. Like, you know what, this is something a little bit off of, it's off of musky fishing, but it's part of the show. I used to research a lot about the overlanding, like overlanders, and I know there's a big area for that in the show this year. Did you happen to check that out? Like that's like the vehicles that are rigged out to just go off road and you live in the vehicle. Like it's kind of like camping in your truck, but you got like all the services in there. You got a bathroom, a shower, a kitchen, and the technology is just unbelievable right now in terms of like the stuff that's coming out. So I didn't know if you had a chance to look at anything. It's maybe fishing related.
Hang on.
Can you edit this, folks? Can you come to the booth? Okay, come to the booth. Bye.
Sorry, I wanted to call Brent, get him on. You know what? Yeah, I haven't checked them out, but they're here. So much to my surprise, there's an entire other hall. It took me 3 days to realize there was another entire hall here, the size of the hall that we're in. None of us really had a clue, but I'm happy I found it because it is full of these awesome crate. Like, not just those.
Have a seat, Brent.
Not just those, but like all sorts of new like snowmobile hybrids and side by sides and stuff like that. But I saw exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, they're here and they're really cool.
They're really cool, yeah.
Really neat. I just, you know what? This is one of those shows that's really hard to look around, because if you look around, it costs you $500. So when I'm walking down the aisles, I try to look at my shoes, which are orange, so I can always keep track of where I am. But you know, like there's so many cool apparel companies here and bait companies, and it's just, it's overwhelming. So if I go into that other hall and start looking at those things, it's gonna cost me another mortgage. So, but it's really neat to see how they've evolved. Yeah, totally, absolutely. No matter what species you love to target, from boot to headlamp, Angling Sports has what you need. Their store is massive, and it's just loaded with equipment and apparel. So if you love to go after those big toothy critters like we do, it's a one-stop shop for all pike and musky tackle. Whether you're looking for trolling rods or casting reels, Angling Sports is always adding the latest and best industry offerings from entry level to higher end. Looking for custom musky baits? They got them. It's worth the drive to London. So check out their amazing store in person or online by visiting anglingsports.ca and net that PB in style. So Chris.
So is Brent with you now?
Brent is sitting here. Brent, say hello.
Hey Chris, how are you?
How's it going, man? Are you going to teach us how to catch fish on the Niagara River? Because we're still struggling to do that.
I might have caught a few fish out there. Not as many lately as back in the 90s, but I can still get to catch the odd one.
Nice.
You're focusing.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I've been here for the last 4 days, and I'm ready for a break.
But yesterday was crazy, eh?
All yesterday, you couldn't even see across the aisle.
Chris,
was yesterday the day where it was just like you can't move, right?
Yeah.
Like just, yeah. Yeah. I know shuffling. I've been there in that day, and I was holding my kids' hands like, if I let go, I won't see them again. So
that's what it was. All you could do was shuffle. You can't even take full steps yesterday. Today's a lot more breathing room, but yesterday was like, just getting from the door to the booth, I was like, I felt like turning around and going home.
Yeah, you didn't want to take your vehicle, go for lunch at all because you want to get a parking spot.
Yeah, it was tough. Even this morning, it took me 20 minutes to get in off Dixon, to turn to the parking lot, make a right-hand turn. This show has been absolutely crazy, Chris. And I was real happy to see Brent. He's decked out in Abu Garcia representing... What? You're not... That's not the Abu booth. It's Berkeley booth?
Well, it's Pure Fishing.
Pure Fishing.
Which under, you know, Berkeley, Abu Garcia under their umbrella and Penn and a lot of great products.
Awesome. So you told me when we talked that you're fishing the Grand River more now.
Yeah, well, I live in Dunnville. So, of course, I spend in June on muskie fish a little bit, of course, and then again in the fall.
On Erie in June?
Nope.
On the Grand River?
No, muskie fishing in June and that.
Yeah, but where?
In the Kortha Lakes.
The Kortha, okay.
But and then I'm spending from May until September salmon fishing on Lake Ontario because I get the charter down out of Port Dalhousie.
Cool.
But on my off time, I'm 3 minutes from the Grand River, and it's just a phenomenal fishery.
Yeah, you were
saying.
It's
just phenomenal. You know, we get monster catfish, big carp. We get decent walleye out there. Sheephead. Like
bullheads, right?
Bullheads.
Those were channel huge. What did you say they were like 13, 14 pounds?
Well, the channel cat, they average between 10 and 15 pounds. And you get a chance of the 20 pounder.
Yeah.
And bowfin, pike. It's just an amazing fishery.
It's nice. Sounds good.
We've even caught suckers out there, you know, trolling with, with flickermen.
Trying to keep them alive until November?
No. They make great cut bait for channel cat, though.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go. So what about muskies? Like, do you do muskies in the fall, too? Or?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Where are you going for those?
Anywhere that I can, really. Like, a little bit of St. Clair. I know with the Muskies Canada, we go up to...
French?
Last year we were in the French. This year we'll be on the West Amalette Nipissing.
Oh, nice.
Where I caught a real nice fish 2 years ago, so I'm looking forward to hitting there again. Memquisit.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I was just actually talking to the people that are at the show here, Memquisit.
They are.
So,
I'd like to go talk to them.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Right on. That sounds good.
The West Arms- are you catching muskie in the Grand River?
Oh, not yet. No muskie in the Grand River. No. I know Muskies Canada.
Muskies Canada.
There's a program, or a stocking program they want to reintroduce there, right?
Well, the people have been looking into some things.
But, they spoke with had them on 2 weeks ago. They were talking about
I didn't know how far that was out there yet, so that's why I was kind of hesitant.
They talked about the project that they're involved
in. Okay, good.
Yeah, 100%. Right. Yeah,
you couldn't see it, Frank, but I just kind of shook my head at
Brent was Frank, trying to shake me off. No, let's
not go there because I didn't realize that they had spoken about it. So.
Yeah. No, Ryan and Peter were on the show last week, and we had a little talk about it. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah,
talked about all the initiatives, and it's how long you been with Muskies Canada, the organization?
I've been a member since 1990.
Right. So, can you believe?
Oh my God!
Can you believe what's going on?
I know
on?
I'm old.
Chris, I was walking on the floor and a blonde haired lady tapped me on the back and said, "Ugly Pike." And I turned because I got the hat on that we made 400 years ago because I had to find something with our brand on it to wear here. And it was Heather.
Yeah.
And I recognized her right away because we're Facebook friends. And I see you guys on my feed.
That's your wife, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It's always funny in this age when you know who each other we are, but we don't really ever met, right? So it was nice to meet her, and she introduced herself. Of course, I knew who she was. And I said, tell Brent to stop by.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Muskies Canada, because like, you've seen it all. Like, it's crazy what they're doing the last 2-3 years. Like, what do you think about the transformation?
It's, I can speak more about the Hamilton chapter than anything.
Sure.
But, and we got a great chapter.
I know you do.
Our last meeting, we had 45 people out.
Was that the one I was at?
You're at the one, who's the guest speaker?
It was Landry.
That was the one before, and we had 42 people.
42, right.
And we're usually the second Wednesday of the month. Last time we were the first Wednesday because of Valentine's Day and March break here.
Right.
And I seen some of the guys that used to be involved with one of the Hamilton Bass Clubs. They were out there for dinner. They used to meet on the first Wednesday.
Okay.
They folded because they couldn't get enough guys out.
Right.
They couldn't believe we were getting 45 people to a meeting. And just, great turnout. And, Muskegon is able to do a lot of things because of the turnout we're getting for meetings and that. And
right.
Raising funds for all these great projects that we have.
It's amazing. It's truly amazing. We sat with Ryan and Peter and really drilled down on the details of how successful not only their fundraising has been, but just the way they're starting to position the company to receive better grants, to receive just better networking, right? That is bringing everything to the next level. And 19% month over month increase in their memberships. And that's the results. When you run a strong organization with strong members, guys like yourselves who really laid the foundations, who are loyal to the organization, it's really flourishing. And it's funny you said that about the Bass. Chris, I don't know if you remember what I asked. I asked those guys, I said, is there Bass Inc., like Muskies? Is there Bass Canada Inc.? Is there Trout Canada Inc.? And I asked those guys, are there organizations like that that are that strong that we have for Muskies? And they almost kind of didn't know, but just your comment right now, maybe it's not as strong in the community.
Not to knock on the Bass guys, but Muskie guys do kind of rock, right?
We do. So, well, what they said was Muskie fishing is cool.
Right, yes.
Right?
Well, one of the things I asked, like I've been doing seminars here the last 4 days, and one of the things I ask when I'm at a crowd like this where it's a lot of multi-species guys,
yeah,
who remembers their first bass? Not very many people. Do you?
No.
Do you remember your first walleye?
No.
Do you remember your first muskie?
Oh, God, yeah.
I remember my first five muskies.
I remember my first five muskies.
And
say, I think I remember all of them.
Three or four biggest fish or whatever. Yeah. I can tell you great detail about that day.
Sure.
Not just about the fish, but the weather that day and all kinds of things around it.
That's a really good point.
I don't know.
That's such a good way to describe it because it's so accurate.
Yeah. I don't know what the biggest bass I ever caught was.
Yeah.
I really don't. Not to dish on a bass, but I don't care.
I can tell you across from a huge bass bait.
Do you find, Brett, that you have a lot of people in your seminars that aren't musky anglers, and then they're just trying to like understand what it's all about, and then when you speak to them, you kind of like hook them, or do you get them at least to go in and try it?
Yeah, a lot of guys that are at these seminars here, but like I said, they're multi-species. And, they have a lot of great questions about muskie fishing. And one of the things I make sure I go over in my seminar is the equipment that we need. As you guys know, it's so important to have the proper equipment. You're not going to go chase a muskie with the baits that we use with a bass rod. You're just not going to be able to throw the baits or work them properly or handle the fish properly with it, right? So that's one of the things I really try to touch on in my seminars. And then we get into the good stuff about catching fish and your figure eights and boat side maneuvers and starting strong and finishing strong on your cast.
So aside from this, us being cool, what is it about this community that is keeping such a cohesion? Because even 5 years ago when Muskies Canada went through went through a little bit of a turbulent time with some generational changes, it still stuck together.
Yeah.
Now it's flourishing. What is it about this community? You're such a great multi-species angler. Well, you see different people and different elements of this hobby. What is it about the musky hobby that is keeping us so cohesive and strong? I see you around. You and I see each other around, right? And it's always great to see you. What is it about this community?
Well, I got on our Hamilton chapter, for example, right? I was just talking to a friend of ours, Marco, over at the sail booth there. And he's a strong member of our chapter. And we're just saying, in our chapter, there's no cliques,
Right.
Some guys might sit together all the time because they're friends, whatever. But everybody gets along great. There's no, whispering behind each other's back and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of guys that common goal, for the good of the, learning how to catch muskies.
Right.
Fishing together. Helping with the research and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, of course.
And there's no, just a good bunch of guys. I don't know how we got so fortunate in that regard.
You know what I think it is, Chris? I think it is because musky fishing, right at the get-go, destroys your ego.
It can be very humbling.
Right? And I think all of us have been humbled, right?
100%. Yeah, and when you've been humbled and you persevere, and then you're able to relate that experience to someone else and say, don't worry, it's going to happen, like, especially if they're in a low. It's like, I've been through this, and you can help each other, and that's what the community does. It helps each other, and here's some techniques or tips that you can help you get through this, because I've been in that position where it's been 7 days or on the water or whatever, 2 months without a muskie. I know what you're going through, and you can help. You can lean on each other, right? When you go 2 months without a bass, it never happens. So, you know, that's something unique about the muskie community, that you can rely on each other to, like, get through those rough times, and then you can talk about all the epic wins that you have.
Yeah. Well, for sure. You know, I had here's what muskie does to people. I had a lady come out. It's probably been 10 years since I went a fishless day in the Kawartha Lakes, right? And the Kawartha Lakes are a great place for
fish multi-species or muskie?
On muskie.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Chris, did you hear what he said?
But that's the Kawartha Lakes.
No, yeah. he's 10 years. He's not gone fishless on the Kawarthas in 10 years.
No, and 2 years ago I had a day where I had a lady out by herself.
Okay.
Wanted to catch a muskie. She went to St. Clair with a guy, didn't catch a fish. She came out with me the one day, and it cold front, just terrible conditions. She worked hard. I worked my butt off. We didn't get a fish. So I talked to her and said, you know, if you come out in the fall, kind of struck a deal with her. If you don't catch a fish, you know, I pretty much guaranteed her we were going to catch a fish.
Right.
And I one thing, you know, I do this for a living. I told, and I shouldn't even admit this, but I told her, if you don't catch a fish, you're not going to pay that day.
Right.
Well, she comes the first day of a cold front, of a 3-day cold front in September. Worst conditions you can have, right? I'm not a troller. I'm a caster.
Right.
And she's working hard, and I'm working hard to find her a fish, just even to see a fish, right? So 6 hours goes by. We haven't seen a fish. I'm starting to sweat a bit, even though it was a cold front. So we do a little bit of trolling. I was never so happy to see a 36-inch fish hit the line. This fish meant so much to this lady.
Yeah.
She had her sunglasses on.
Yeah.
She had this huge smile on her face, but it was just a little off her smile, right? She's actually so excited and so happy she was crying.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? That, as a guy, you know, it's gonna make, well, like, it just makes you feel...
Sure it does.
There's no better feeling, right?
Yeah.
She was that happy, but... And that's what... I don't think anybody's done that with a bass or a walleye.
That's true, yeah. It definitely invokes the passions, right? It reminds me of a time I put my buddy Pete on his first Niagara muskie, and he vomited. He didn't cry. He said he vomited from his adrenaline dump. So
jeez.
Muskies will do that. Yeah, that was quite a moment.
Yeah.
About, yeah,
yeah, I know. Like, even myself, you know, being a seasoned angler.
Yeah.
I don't get excited when I catch fish right away. Like, everything, I'm quite calm. Once you release that fish, and it's like, holy crap, happened.
Yeah, right.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
But before that, everything calm, cool, fine. You'd think it wasn't a big deal. But afterwards, when it's a big fish, it's like, holy crap.
Yeah. Chris, I always, you know, always
stories.
Watching Lindner and those guys and Jeremy Smith. They're always so calm, you know, and
on the surface.
On the surface, yeah. Well, I guess when the camera's pointing at you, right? So I said to Jay, I was talking to Jeremy not too long ago. Hopefully he'll be on the show not too long from now. I think he will be.
A lot of these veterans, they still say to us that as calm as they are, they still get nervous, right? When that 50-plus finch is coming to the boat, their knees are still knocking. They're still nervous. They still get that excitement like it's the first time. And I don't think you'll ever lose that, you know. And if you lose that, then it's time to, I think, hang up the rod because that's what keeps you going, that feeling, right? You're never going to lose that nervousness and that jittery of like, oh, my God, this is maybe a lifetime fish coming at my lure. You know, that's what it's all about.
And that's one of the cool things about fishing bigger bodies of water where you're going to catch bigger fish.
Yeah.
You're not going to catch as many, right? So it means that much more when you do hook that big fish.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we drive to the destinations and fly to the destinations that we do for that fish, right? That experience.
So we're talking about Manquizet Lodge.
Yeah.
I got a 48-inch fish, like a 30-pound class fish 2 years ago up there.
You know, 48, in the West Arm.
Yeah. 48 isn't the biggest muskie out there.
Hang on. How deep into the West Arm are they? Are they halfway? Do you know? Can you quantify?
I've only been up there once, but we're pretty far. We're way up there.
Yeah, because I'm super... I had a girl at the booth the other day, and she was talking about she fishes the West Arm. She was way in, and she's talking about the muskies she's getting, and it intrigues me, right? Because Nipissing is such a fascinating place.
I really think I want to start trying to get out there. So I'm going to walk over to Memquisit and introduce myself after this.
Yeah.
But sorry, what was your...
I forget now.
No, you were talking
about...
You were
talking about some lodge that you were at.
Yeah, so we're at
a 48-inch fish or something.
We went up there for... Oh, yeah. So we were up there for 4 days. We went up on the Thursday fish, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with the Muscles Canada guys from Hamilton chapter or outing. Most guys, Sunday morning, packed up and went home. Right. Only like two boats stayed. And my buddy Craig Bell and I, we look at each other, we're like, you know what? You spend, and I talk about this in a seminar, you spend all this money, all this money on gas, all this time, all this effort, the equipment and everything else. Why am I going to leave at 8 o'clock in the morning when I can fish till noon or 1 o'clock?
Of course.
You know, we've came all this way. Why am I leaving early?
Right.
I took 2 days off work or whatever. Craig did. You know, so why am I going home on a day I have off? You know, my wife's very forgiving. If I get home at noon...
I was just
going
to say that.
You know, she's awesome. Absolutely amazing lady.
Yeah.
But if I get home at noon or if I get home at 6 or 7 at night, she understands.
Right.
You know, she's still going to be happy to see me. And fortunately.
Yeah.
But if I would have left that morning... If I would have left that morning...
Yeah.
I actually do a whole half a seminar on that one fish because that fish taught me so much.
Wow.
Because we've seen that fish, had to follow in, came back a half hour later and caught it.
Unbelievable.
So...
Yeah, that's amazing. That's you never know when that fish is going to hit, right? It's time on the water.
Yeah.
That is a cool story, and having a good wife is important for it, right?
Absolutely.
You can tell. You can tell you guys have good times.
Yeah. And you know what? One of the cool things is?
Yeah.
She's always watches my seminars, right?
I used to
tell a story about when she didn't make a figure eight the one time. And we're in the course. There's about a 45, 46-inch fish comes in. And she's looking at it and goes, oh, look, there's a fish. And she hadn't really been musky fishing before, right?
Yeah.
So I explained to her about figure eight and everything else. So I go on a figure eight my next cast, and that fish comes out from under the boat chomping. I missed the fish, and I'm probably lucky I did. But she has since caught fish on a figure eight.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
You know, it was worth the fish, and she's throwing a handlebars bucktail, coming in, bringing
the blades
in. Mike
was sitting in that chair. Yeah.
Thursday.
Thursday, yeah. Yeah. How do you know?
Because he was here Thursday.
Okay.
I've been here since Thursday myself, right? And she goes, oh, fish. She goes, figure eight. She goes on the big maneuver there. Fish eats, comes out of the water, and everything else. Just amazing.
Beautiful. Yeah, it was good to see Mike telling us about his triple B bait. I'm excited to use that one, and it's always good to see him.
Yeah, Mike's a great guy.
Great guy. Great people in this community, 100%. Yeah, Chris, you probably got to get back to your booth, right? Are they going to yell at you? What's going on? Are they sleep drivers over there?
Yeah, you know what? The show has slowed down a little bit here,
really
so
down,
Sunday afternoon, but yeah.
Cool. Anything fun and exciting going on with your TV show this year?
Well, we should be on a national network coming in January. We can get into that.
2025?
Yep. We can get into that a little bit more later once things are...
But it's looking good?
Looking really good, yeah.
Awesome.
Very excited about it.
Really cool. Is it going to be, can you tell us, is it a multi-species?
Yeah, it'll be multi-species,
okay. Okay. Any musky in there?
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome. Right on, man. I plan
at least, I've been up with John, our friend John Anderson, a few times fishing, right?
Yeah.
And we filmed with John a couple times up there on the Ottawa River. And hopefully we can get up there again.
I'd love to. I miss John. I haven't seen him in a couple of years, and usually once a year we see each other. And last time I saw him, I almost killed him. So maybe that's why.
You didn't have him in a chokehold, did you?
No, I gave him COVID.
Oh, geez.
I said this on the last episode or last couple episodes, but if you listen to episode 100, we were him and myself and Alex Boutin, Rex St. Pierre from Barbarian Braid, were holed up in an Airbnb. In an ill-fated trip on the St. Lawrence River, and you can kind of hear us all coughing during the episode.
Everything went quiet for a couple weeks after that, Brent.
Because the hospital didn't let him have his phone.
What's going on?
Right.
Chris, he was in the hospital.
John's missing.
Oh, John was in the hospital?
Yeah, I'm not joking when I say, you know, but I don't know if we gave it to him or what, or if we all got it at once or however.
John probably gave it to you. He's a very giving guy.
That's right, John, you son of a... You're listening.
Yeah. But I hope to see him soon. And that's really great about your show. And let's hope it all works out for you.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, and then we got the Odyssey coming up in a couple weeks here.
Yeah, but I think this will air after that.
Oh, okay.
So wasn't that a great Odyssey?
A couple weeks ago, we had the Odyssey. It was absolutely fantastic.
And a great time.
Had a couple of Ugly Pike beverages there, and it was great.
Yeah, we're hoping to have our meat products there.
Oh, so nice.
That's what we're working to do. I don't know if you know, but we're going to do a grass-fed beef pepperette.
You were telling me that.
No steroids, yeah. No nitrites, no nothing bad, super clean protein, great boat fuel, fisherman fuel. Yeah. And Chris, I've been tossing around a name, and everyone loves it. You and I got to talk about this, man. Everyone loves it. I don't know if you love it, but we'll talk about that off the air.
Haven't heard it yet. So
yes, you have. I send it to you. But Chris, we were talking about so many things; it got buried so quickly in our chat. So our time together running this business is so few and far between that I vomit out so many things when I get your attention, and I think a lot of it, you know, tends to get lost in the mix, but I got some really great feedback, and I'm excited to share it with you. And we'll get you some meat fuel when we get
sounds good
stuff. Yeah,
get you through the day on the water.
Get you through the day on the water. Yeah.
Before I head out here this summer, whether it's the Grand River, the Niagara River, out salmon fishing on Lake Ontario or something, let's hook up and
look,
get on the water.
We're gonna do it for sure. I'll vomit if I go on Niagara. Ontario.
The Niagara. I love to fish the Niagara with you,
Chris. That's what I was just about to say. I would love nothing more than to get a guy like you to help me suck less on the Niagara River. I would love that. And I don't aspire to ever fish on the Niagara, but if a guy like you is making the offer, that's where I would like to do it.
Let's get out there and...
Absolutely.
And we'll have...
We will have beers for you at that point. Yeah. After
we get off the water.
You got it, man.
Appreciate it.
I love seeing you, man. It's always a great time.
Yeah, it was good talking to you.
All right, man.
Take care, Chris.
Cheers. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right, Brent. Take it easy. Yeah, always a great time to see Brent. Hey, what a great dude.
Thanks.
Great guy. I was talking about the chapter meeting, the Hamilton chapter meeting about a month ago. I was there, and you know what? He always seems to pop up everywhere. There's fishermen and fishing. Brent just pops up. He's such an adept angler, and he's got his hooks into a lot of different organizations, and everybody wants him because he's such a great ambassador and such a pleasant guy to be around. So, Chris, wouldn't that be cool if we could get a master class from one of the best Niagara anglers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, so we don't suck as much.
I suck so much on that river, and the river sucks. So maybe we'll learn something. And maybe you should try to extend your vacation this year, because I think we've booked about 1,800 fishing trips.
Yeah,
I think I booked a couple for you, and you don't
about.
Even realize
lots
it.
To talk to.
I booked a couple lots more for us.
You got to send a memo to my wife outlining everything. So it's, you know, so it's coming from like the business side. So it's, you know, like she understands this is all, it's all business related. It's all business related fishing trips.
Chris, just
it needs to happen.
Just do what I do. Just shrug your shoulders and turn your palms up and just say, it's my job now. Cause it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay.
It is. You know what, one thing this in closing from the Sportsman Show, because this is going to be our last broadcast from here, but from the people coming here, Chris, coming up to me saying, I love your show, like, there's been a lot. And, you know, I told you, I texted you earlier, and I said, everybody came here. We had a lot of people coming here looking for merch from us. And folks, if you're listening, I hope by the time... I suspect by the time this airs, we will either have our e-commerce site up and populated with clothes, or we'll be within days away. Chris, we'll talk off the air about some great inroads I made here and some things that we've set up. This brand is absolutely on fire, and we're getting such amazing feedback from the fans that have taken their time to stop in at this booth to see us here. And we're in a booth full of absolute superstars. And it's not only us. The Eat and Wild guys...
Yeah,
they are just doing some unbelievable things, and their fan base is very, very strong. Steve Nidzwicki is—I called him the mayor because there isn't one person that doesn't walk by this booth that he doesn't hug. And just his show is growing and is very popular. And Jerry was here doing his Under the Canopy podcast. This network is blazing a trail.
As I was saying the last episode we talked, like, it seems like everybody's on fire, and the whole family It is just like trending upwards. It's that's so great to see. So, you know, we're going to ride that.
And yet another trip. Absolutely. But another trip you're going to be taking is we're going to go up to Oshawa when you're here in the summer. We'll hit the studio. We'll get with the guys. And, we'll see if Antonio and his crew can meet up with us too. Cause Chris, these guys are top quality humans and, everybody in this organization is. And so, it's going to be great, to hang out with them and drink some cold ones and share in the success we've all had. And
yeah.
I'm excited for you to come down and experience it all. Yeah.
Ugly Pike Podcast.
How did a small town sheet metal mechanic come to build one of Canada's most iconic fishing lodges? I'm your host, Steve Nidzwicki, and you'll find out about that and a whole lot more on the Outdoor Journal Radio Network's newest podcast, Diaries of a Lodge Owner. But this podcast will be more than that. Every week on Diaries of a Lodge Owner, I'm going to introduce you to a ton of great people, share their stories of our trials, tribulations, and inspirations, learn and have plenty of laughs along the way.
Meanwhile, we're sitting there bobbing along, trying to figure out how to catch a bass. And we both decided one day we were going to be on television doing a fishing show.
My hands get sore a little bit when I'm reeling in all those bass in the summertime, but that's might be for more fishing than it was punching.
You so confidently you said, "Hey, Pat, have you ever eaten a drum?"
Find Diaries of a Lodge Owner now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and muskie shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear from bait casting to fly fishing and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco is more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.
No matter what species you love to target, from boot to headlamp, Angling Sports has what you need. Their store is massive and it's just loaded with equipment and apparel. So if you love to go after those big toothy critters like we do, it's a one-stop shop for all pike and musky tackle. Whether you're looking for trolling rods or casting reels, Angling Sports is always adding the latest and best industry offerings from entry level to higher end. Looking for custom musky baits? They got them. It's worth the drive to London, so check out their amazing store in person or online by visiting anglingsports.ca and net that PB in style. Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and muskie shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear from bait casting to fly fishing and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco is more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.